Welcome one and all to another day, another week here at the Damage Report. I am John Arola, and that, or I should say she is Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, welcome to the show.
That thing over there, that's okay. That's my pronoun, that thing.
I respect it. I respect
it. Got to.
Very glad to have you here.
Morning.
For the news.
Hello, afternoon. Good evening and good night. Let's go.
It's closer to the afternoon than it normally is when we start, which is tech problems. You know, the world is a complex place and it's getting more complex. But anyway, we do have a lot of news that we're going to be talking about. Did you know that there was almost a civil war in Russia? How exciting. So we're going to be talking about that as well as a lot of other stuff. But I also do want to say, we were talking before the show about the fact that you are going to be on the road, kind of doing some stand up. You want to let people know about that?
Yeah, I'll be in San Francisco and Oakland this whole weekend. Also on Thursday at the California Academy of Science, Arts and Science and Arts. You know what I'm saying? For their Nightlife series, going to be talking about women in STEM. Very exciting. Nice. So yeah, if you're in Oakland or San Francisco, come see me Friday, Saturday at the setup. Whatever, follow me at Franny Fio. You all think.
Just come or follow or whatever.
Just come. Just
something, please. I don't know, whatever. Just do what you want to do. Free world, not really. Anyway, very exciting news. We have a lot of exciting news to get to, and we will in just a few. But for all of you who are perhaps just joining us now, please hit the like button, share the stream if you're on a platform that allows for that. And if you want to reach out to us with any comments, tweets, super chats, anything like that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, you ready to start the show?
I think so.
Okay, well, you know where we're gonna start. Obviously, it was a big weekend for international news, but that's not quite where we're starting. No, we're gonna start with bad actors trying to make the most out of what happened over the weekend. And thus, we bring you our Monday Menace.
The White House wanted to give the media something else to cover. And this is the MO. This is exactly the way they do things. In fact, on Friday, I said, wow, what a blockbuster WhatsApp message. I'm sure there will be an enormous story over the weekend that the White House is going to be pushing to take this story off of the front page. And sure enough, we've got the State Department drumming up all the drama that took place over the weekend in Russia. So I don't know if it's going to break through. The mainstream media has an excuse again not to cover it. They're covering everything about Russia and the Wagner Group.
Yeah, it's true.
As if it really matters to the US right now.
You maniac, Maria Bartiromo. So look, that was as crazy as every word of that was. More reasonable than many other people in right-wing media when it comes to trying to figure out why is it that we live in such turbulent times? Why is it that the mercenary head of the Wagner Group trying to take over Russia as of this weekend or whatever? So some of them just went straight to Biden made this happen. Not they're taking advantage of it. He made it happen. Like people like Bridget Gabriel, who exists purely on Twitter. I'm not sure it's an actual human being. Tweeted, the left will do anything to distract us from Hunter's crimes. They'll sit in information about the sub that imploded for 4 days while the world anxiously searches. They'll attempt a coup in Russia to remove Putin. Anything to distract us from the Biden family corruption. How did the left sit on the information from the sub? Do you think that the Navy is the left, you whack job? But anyway, Hunter Biden's petty corruption that even if all of their claims are true, wouldn't rise to the level of what, you know, Eric and Don Jr. get up to in an average week is so serious and so needing of distraction that they decided to institute a coup. Now, Maria Bartiromo isn't going quite that far. At least in that video, she's not saying they made the coup happen, but she's saying the media is only covering it to distract from Hunter Biden. There's no reason that you would want to cover tens of thousands of mercenary soldiers marching on Moscow, except to cover from Hunter Biden's dong photos or something. Look, there's a lot of criticism of what people choose to cover, and you're free to criticize whatever you want. I feel like there's a reason people might want to cover the possible overthrow of Vladimir Putin. What do you think?
Unless you happen to parrot all of Vladimir Putin's talking points. This is not the first time that we've seen something that Vladimir Putin would smile upon being parroted on Fox News. Tucker Carlson, up until recently, and maybe even more so now, was just lifting graphs out of Putin's speeches straight up. Like, this is the line. So look, I'm not saying they're getting their talking points from the Kremlin. But my God, it sure kind of sounds like they're doing a lot of laundering of nothing to see here. This was not a big deal. And in fact, it was the West that did it. It was Biden, because Biden is, I don't know, trying to cover for his son Hunter's incredible D-pics. You know, like that, like that's what it is. And trust me, John, we all know, we on the left, we've been trying to distract the American people from Hunter Biden for a long time. We've been trying to distract them with things like a Green New Deal, with things like Medicare for All, with things like Black Lives Matter, you know, and stopping police brutality. My God, yes, we've been trying to talk about anything other than Hunter Biden. So good on Bridget for calling us out. Yeah. However, this one, you know, we tried, but like we're just not in with the Wagner. He's apparently like an All Lives Matter guy, you know, it's a little creepy.
Oh my God. Yeah, look. It's easy for us to joke. We do have to bear in mind that some of these people are very well respected, very influential. I'm speaking here about Cat Turd, who said, I don't care about the planned distraction of Russia. I care about the solid proof of Joe and Hunter Biden's treason. So bear in mind, unless Cat Turd actually has access to classified documents, which I guess is actually, we can't rule that out at this point, considering the Republican Party. Cat Turd is saying solid proof because Marjorie Greene says that she saw something that she thinks is proof, and that's it. She can't say anything more. Well, legally, she can't say anything more, but she also is willing to violate the law, but isn't saying anything more. And it's a planned distraction. You know, I wish that they were this critical of the coups that the US actually was involved in, no, rather than just this one, which is, yeah, it's absolutely absurd.
They're proud of those.
It's all projection. Like on, like you made your jokes about, you know, we would love to distract you with actual policy prescriptions to fix the problems that face America, but the right is engaged in a knowing distraction from every economic issue by talking about a trans swimmer in Louisiana or something. Like that is what they are actually doing. It is a conscious thing. Every single one of their politicians and media figures has glommed onto it. So they understand that this is what politics is supposed to be. So why wouldn't they believe that that's what this coup could be, or that showing actual concern for how this might destabilize Russia, what effect that would have on regular Russian people? They don't have any concern for the real world implications of politics. So it must be very easy for them to imagine that nobody on the other side does either.
No, but that's exactly, and again, I'm not trying to say that this is like a conspiracy, but it is exactly what someone like Vladimir Putin would want, which is like, look, nothing happened, nothing to see here. My integrity was not questioned, my authority was not questioned. This was a nothing burger. If, on the other hand, right, when Putin and when the right want to make Russians the victims, right? Like, let's say they want to talk about Russian soldiers dying in Ukraine, which, yes, objectively, there are Russian victims. There are Russian victims of, you know, families who've lost their children all the time. Like Russian people are victims, but I'm saying they know how to craft that narrative. They know how to do that. They want to make Zelensky look like a war criminal. They know how to do that. They've done it before. So there's just something very interesting about, like, it's not that they don't care who's the victim. Is that this is the line? This is the line that's been handed to them, which is nothing to see here. It's all a distraction.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll just close. The reason I chose to put the Cat Turd thing up is just to once again remind you, the richest man in the world just routinely replies to this guy as a serious actor. Yeah. The guy's like, no, it's a planned distraction. They just invented this like fake coup or whatever. And Elon Musk just says it. He just responds to him. That's how he spends his time. Anyway, we're gonna have to do a little bit more of an abbreviated version of what's to come. We wanted to talk more in depth, but obviously the show is a bit constrained in length today. So we're just gonna run through this pretty fast, just so fascinating, we have to talk about it. So obviously there was a lot going on in Russia over the last, you know, 4 days or so. It really looked like there might be fighting in the streets of Moscow, but it was averted. That said, how did we get to the point where this historic event nearly happened? Well, the leader of the mercenary group Wagner, which you've probably heard a lot about over the last year when it comes to the war in Ukraine, this is Yevgeny Prigozhin, led his forces initially to the Russian city of Rostov-on-Don, which is obviously very close to Ukraine. It's one of the military sort of staging grounds for Wagner Group, but for the military more generally in its invasion into Ukraine, and took it over with little resistance. It doesn't seem like there was much fighting there. From that, He then dispatched his forces to march on Moscow, which is hundreds of miles away. But they began to do that, and they got to within 125 miles from the Russian capital, with many people believing that they are going to make it to Moscow. There's going to be fighting in the streets, and there wasn't much done to stop them along the way. There are reports of perhaps the downings of a few Russian military helicopters. But other than that, Russia seemed completely taken aback by what was going on and didn't seem to have like the capacity or the plans or the will to actually counter it. They did not meet the Wagner group halfway to Moscow with 50,000 soldiers or anything like that, but it did end. It sort of was diffused as a result of, at least publicly, what we are led to believe is a deal that was reached between Vladimir Putin, his, you know, the government and Prigozhin. So according to a Kremlin spokesman, the criminal case that had been opened against the leader of Wagner was for armed mutiny is dropped. Wagner fighters who had taken part in his quote march for justice will not face any actions. They haven't made clear any other concessions that have been made, although one of the main things that he had been asking for was for several of the senior members of the Russian government, including the defense secretary, to be taken out of that position. Will that actually happen? We don't know. But supposedly he's going for Belarus. His soldiers are going to be integrated into the Russian military. And that was actually part of what seems to have set off the minor rebellion, was this plan to do that. If I was one of his soldiers, Francesca, I will say I would be a little bit worried about what's gonna happen going forward. It's very easy for them to say to stop an incipient rebellion that they're just going to integrate you in or whatever. But will they? Will they just forgive and forget? I mean, it's not like there's a leader of the mercenary group and then just regular soldiers. There's also, there's lieutenants and things like that along the way. What will happen to them? And supposedly there had been threats against his family as well. So I don't know, the entire thing's really dirty, obviously. I don't know what would have happened if it had come to fighting in Moscow, but what do you think about all this?
Well, and apparently, according to reports, like the citizens, as they were approaching Moscow, were welcoming them in. I mean, I think, you know, so that's something to factor into all of this. But I don't know who has the upper hand here, right? It looks like Moscow was fairly unprotected. And it looks like, just as I think we've all suspected, Putin's grasp on his leadership and authority is waning and slipping. And he relied on the Wagner group in large part. And the fact that they're turning on him is a really, really bad look for everything, right? It shows you look weak and that you don't have the support of the people. That's number one. But the fact that the other way it makes Putin look weak is the fact that there was a negotiation at all. It wasn't, no, you're dead immediately, goodbye. Now, the real thing is, maybe it's a no, we'll negotiate now, and you're gonna be dead in a little bit. So who knows who has the upper hand? Who knows what's actually going on? I think it is really like suspicious that there was this negotiation. Yes, maybe Putin did have the upper hand for Prigozhin to even leave. Maybe there's some sort of promise of him coming back into the fold. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is apparently his army is like full of like former criminals who were let out of prison in order to serve with him. So like, these are scary ass dudes. So I don't know. And there's still an element within the Russian military. Will they use that against Ukrainians? Will they use that against Russians themselves? Both feel bad at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's super weird. I mean, look, obviously there's a lot of anger at the Russian government because of this horrendous barbaric war that they've been waging. That said, you know, just Putin being his government being taken down by just anyone doesn't necessarily result in a better situation for the Russian people. It would probably result in a better situation for the Ukrainians, but it's not just a situation where any sort of chaos is good because the Russian government is bad. It's obviously much more complicated than that. A lot of open questions still haven't been answered. He had said that the Russian military attacked the mercenary troops. That's one of the things that triggered this. There's no actual evidence of that that's been presented, but that's what he said. And he has been a very outspoken critic of the preparedness and supplies for troops in Ukraine, as well as the tactics of the military leadership of Russia. I think a lot of people think that he's fairly like spot on in those criticisms. So Will that be part of the deal? Is that they actually start to seem to give a damn about the soldiers that are dying in Ukraine? I don't know. Yeah. The whole thing is just crazy. Like the fact that they did not, you have a military of hundreds of thousands of men. You have an air force, and they appeared to have barely tried to fight back against this force as it was marching on them. Wild. Maybe they were waiting because they knew that if they attack them, then there's no negotiation. It's obviously complex, but it just does not look good. And you should be able to, like, imagine you're rolling down I-95 or whatever and just nothing happens for 200 miles. That seems weird, man. Anyway, that's my final thoughts. Any other thoughts from you?
I mean, I just compare it to American mercenaries and thinking like, okay, American mercenaries usually do it for the money. Leaders usually do it for the money. Eric Prince, this would be the equivalent of Eric Prince trying to like march on the Capitol, which like probably Eric Prince's relatives were in January 6th, but that's like neither here nor there. But like, imagine how crazy that is. That's like this, I'm not in it for the money. You're doing this war wrong. I've been on the ground. Let me, you know, let me take over.
Crazy. On the chat, Mary Animal says, no one's rolling down I-95 right now, LOL. I get what you're saying, yeah. It seemed more plausible than one of ours. No, I think that they did fix it like 4 days ago or something like that. I think it was pretty quick actually. Hey, maybe Buttigieg deserves some credit.
You were wrong.
Although I don't know if he was involved at all. Anyway, let's see what's going on out there. Oh, I did want to remind you. So we obviously had a little bit of trouble getting the show started. Some little tech problem or whatever. It's a complex system. So Indisputable is not going to be happening today. So if you're waiting around the first few minutes, it's not a tech problem. Their power is out at their studio, so there's not going to be Indisputable. I'm going to let people know on the live show, but just bear that in mind. Swidane Dragon gifted 20 memberships despite us making Swidane Dragon wait to start the show. So thank you for that. CDN Norse Dog Dad also gifted 5 memberships. Thank you. Spunky Dragon, member for 31 months, says hello Dragons. Thank you for being here. Jenna Dragon's been here for 30 months. Says it's a fantastic day to be 13 months for like the 18th time. Be well, Dragon fam. I effing love you all. Thank you. And Viking Dragon says hi as well. Thank you, Viking Dragon. By the way, Mike, you, I'm assuming, cannot do your video or your audio right now. Cause I don't know if you remember, but at some point I want to give people an update on our anti-masker thing. But I don't know if you can for the connection purposes. So you let me know. Perhaps we'll see if we can do that in a second break. I want to give people updates on that. Francesca, you were here for the talk about Jim Carrey like a week ago, right?
Yes. Oh, the mask.
Okay, so we have updates.
I am an anti-masker.
Yes, we do have updates on that. Maybe Mike can, man, things are in chaos today. Anyway, let's see what's going on elsewhere. Azon's Prophet sent in a super chat saying, John, I know you're gonna be taking off some time to be with Future. And then the message ends. I don't know, Asimov, where you were going to with that. I am going to be taking some time off, though. That's going to happen at some point. People are telling us that we should extend TDR throughout the time that Indisputable would be live.
Take it all day.
Stuff we got to do, too. No. We will, though, be doing a top 10 list. We always do that on Mondays. So after the show ends, Francesca and I are going to be doing, yes. Okay, Mary Animal, thank you. I will update people on that. We're going to be doing 10 hobbies that we will never understand. And for me, at least, it's going to be an opportunity to attack the rich, which is just all that I want in my life. Anyway, Mary Animal
is
right.
And for me, it'll be an opportunity to attack John.
Probably, almost certainly. Yes, there's not a new Indisputable. There will be a replay of an episode of Indisputable. So there, like, you just stick around for a minute after our show and it'll start. There will be an episode, but if you are wondering why is it that there's not new content, it is because Rashad can't go live. His studio has lost power, which is an experience that we have suffered here multiple times over the years. So I totally understand that. Okay, over on Twitch, the Golden Donut Dragon has been here for 12 months. Says woohoo, thank you for being here. You sound delicious. Steph Moth's been here for 35 months, says almost 3 years. That's just crazy. Thanks for keeping me company while I complete home renovations and improve my woodworking skills. Here's to another 3 years. Well, Steph Mutt, you can't say that and not say, what's the woodworking thing? I want to know. Let me say, I am basically done with my barn door project. So I made a door from scratch.
You finally closed your barn door?
Is now usable. I need to like do another coat of paint, but it's up. It did not pull my wall down. it functions. I'm as surprised as anyone, probably.
What's inside your barn door functions? That's good. That's your barn door's finally closed. I got it. That's great. Opens and closes. That's important.
I don't know exactly what you're doing right now, but I don't like it. Anyway, you know what? With that, we're just gonna end the break there. I'm gonna be thinking about this for a little bit, but we'll be back in just a few. Freaking Francesca. Okay. I was gonna say, let's get weird, but the show's been weird. Let's continue being as weird as we can be with this. That's an alpha, everybody. You may not like it. It may offend you to see such raw masculinity on display, but that is what old school masculinity is all about. That's Trump. He's trying to appeal to religious people at this faith and freedom thing that they do every year. They say that it's like the big gathering of religious people for the right, but don't you feel like they say that every month that there's some random group of right wing religious people that get together and it's like the big thing? Anyway, he is, I don't know, faking an orgasm. He'll have what she's having. Is he messing up his pants? I don't know. He's an old guy. It's a thing that happens. Anyway, in reality, that is Donald Trump trying to appeal to conservative evangelicals by mocking female weightlifters at the Olympics and those people who compete. He's pretending that they're desperately trying to beat transgender women who are competing against them. Now, why exactly it is that they're struggling so much when they are weightlifters? I know that Donald Trump thinks that exercise is bad for you, but female weightlifters are incredibly impressive athletes. But again, it's a reminder that for all that they use supposed concerns about women's sports to attack trans people, they will continually undercut it by mocking the very idea of female athletes. So that's, I guess, how you appeal to evangelicals these days. Francesca, what do you think?
I think it's incredible that his base, number one, thinks that's funny, and number two, thinks that he could lift whatever imaginary weight he's lifting in real life, like that he would stand any chance to get anything minimally over his head. Like, that's not happening, but that's exactly right. Like, it is him making fun of, like, oh yeah, you're weak girls who we care about and we want to protect the sanctity of your sports because you're weak, strong. I forget. Anyway, I hate trans people. Moving on. Like, that's
what it is.
They don't know the tactic. They don't know what they're doing. They've obviously never enjoyed women's sports. They don't support women's sports. They don't put the proper funding or attention to women's sports. It's like, again, it's the same bad faith stuff around abortion rights. Oh yeah, now when people are forced into motherhood, we're gonna roll out all kinds of Medicaid expansion. We're gonna really help moms. Like, no, you're not. You're not.
No.
You're going to bad faith put some cobblesome policy together that never goes anywhere. And then just sort of say you tried to maybe do something that one time. Well, we sort of tried to maybe support women's sports, but no, we're gonna mock it mostly.
No, not at all. Look, as I've been saying for a long time, you're attacking trans people because you legitimately care about women's sports. Okay, you can claim that. And if you do not go to and support a women's sporting event for a month, then you need to shut up for the next month. Like, if you want to buy yourself the plausible deniability, then go to an event, go to a match. They're all over the place. There's lots of great leagues, lots of great athletes. No, you're not interested in that? Okay, then maybe shut the hell up about the entire thing. Also, by the way, like, remember when he tried to drink water and it required his full concentration in both hands? Maybe don't mock people who are working out. And by the way, while, you know, I was talking about this in the pre-show, obviously not a big fan of RFK Jr. because he believes literally in insane things, but he is going viral these days for his like working out videos. Why doesn't Trump do one of those? He's the huge alpha. He's the masculine guy. He's the big tough man. Why don't you do some pushups? Why don't you do an incline bench press like RFK Jr.? The right loves RFK Jr. Clearly there's an appetite for this. Trump, whip off your shirt. Bust out them pecs and start cranking out a few reps. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. No. By the way, Craig is the TD. Craig, thank you for not going to Francesca while she was doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was getting out my pecs.
Nope. Okay, so we're gonna move on to more religious stuff. Let's just jump to this video.
See Biden now, the real Biden on religion. He's not in favor of religion. He can talk all he wants, but what they've done to Catholics and what they've done to evangelicals, what they've done to everybody is a disgrace.
Yep. Joe Biden, who is obviously a religious guy. I'm not. I'm an atheist, but he's a religious guy. He goes to church, which I've always thought is a good way to demonstrate that you're religious, is actually going to the house of worship for your religion. Trump, on the other hand, has not been to church since he held a Bible up upside down while having people beaten all around him. And to prove his bona fides when it comes to religion, he says he doesn't support religion. What he's doing to the Catholics, to everyone, really bad, really bad. Oh, that is highly detailed. That's very specific. Clearly, this is something that bothers you, that you think a lot about. It has always bothered me how little Donald Trump needs to do to get religious conservatives to still believe that he's one of them. Like, this is a guy who clearly has less respect for organized religion than most atheists do, and yet it does not bother them. And just to really prove this point, I want to remind you of something that happened way back in 2015, and I cannot believe that's like 8 years ago. But
wow, yeah.
Here is a video of Donald Trump being asked one of the easiest, like just teeing him up answers when it comes to religion, and he had nothing. Take a look.
Okay. You mentioned the Bible. You've been talking about how it's your favorite book, and you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favored Bible verses are. Well, and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal, so I don't want to get into
verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that you like.
No, I don't want to do that.
You're an Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal. I think it's just an incredible, the whole Bible is an incredible.
Look.
Classic.
I'm an atheist. That's obviously not supposed to appeal to me. But if you're a Christian and you listen to that, I want you with a straight face to say that that guy gives a single damn about the Bible, that he's maybe ever read any of it. Please, I want you to say that with a straight face. That guy does not care about religion at all. And by the way, in that he's similar to a lot of rich people. When you have $1 billion, how much do you think people care about religion at that point for the most part? But he's not even good at hiding it. He can't even do that thing that most politicians, godless politicians do. And yet it doesn't bother them at all. And that just proves how empty their supposed centering of religious values is to their politics. That Absolutely. They will follow a guy like that with all of his issues of the affairs and the talking about assaulting women and all that. He doesn't care about any of it. It should bother them, but it doesn't.
No, but more insane than that, John, is that they believe he is the savior. He is the whatever, King David or whatever, King, whatever weird, rapey king there was in the Bible. Again, haven't read that much of it, but I do know, unlike Donald Trump, the Old and the New Testament. He clearly doesn't know there was an or is an Old Testament and New Testament. Watch his face. He doesn't even know. He's like, he doesn't
just
know.
Choose one. Just choose one.
Exactly. But he doesn't know. He didn't even know they were divided. He didn't even know that that was part of the Bible. That's why the cult of Trump is so powerful and so strong. It wins out of any of this fake religiosity that he does not have, the fake morals, because Christians who still support Trump convince themselves that because he is a walking sort of walking sinner who commits crimes as he breathes, covets everyone's wife, would murder someone on Fifth Avenue, maybe has, that somehow that makes him the most holy of them all. Trump greater than Jesus in every single, push comes to shove, Trump greater than Jesus. We did back in 2015, we basically did a joke sketch for Newsbroke that was if Jesus came back to earth, like MAGA and Trump supporters would be like, no, like we don't, you're a third party spoiler candidate, bye.
100%. Yeah, you know, like I think in the myth of like the Antichrist, how he's gonna come and he's gonna be super popular and he's gonna win over, I think, a lot of Christians. I think that's the idea.
Right.
And it's always, it has never really made a ton of sense to me why like this evil figure would be able to do that, but it's because they can't tell. They have no capacity whatsoever to tell who's legit and who's clearly conning them. So I now believe that that portion of the Bible probably prophetic, and we'll be seeing it soon. Okay, everybody, we're gonna get to some comments. But first, we had a little bit of a bet, I guess, that we set up with producer Mike. So Mike, first of all, thank you for being here.
Nice to meet you, thanks.
Oh, Mike's on video. I think this is the first time Mike has appeared on video. So Mike is a producer, the show would not be possible without Mike. Also runs the show many days. So you had never watched the Truman Show, and I have not seen The Mask since like the first time I saw it. So we decided we would swap movies and give them a chance, because I was very critical of The Mask, as was Francesca. And so we're gonna give our impression of The Mask, but you finally watched The Truman Show, which I think is one of his more lauded movies. So what did you think of it?
So my take on it is, I did not know that it was going to be a serious movie. I was not expecting that from Jim Carrey going into it. But I very much did enjoy it, though I do feel like the plot was very rushed at like the exciting parts. I feel like I would have liked to have a lot more of him coming to realizing what was going on and kind of being like, you're the worst person ever, to his best friend and his wife in that. In addition, I think that they really didn't, like, there's no way that they should have thought that he like was like, oh, maybe I'm not in this TV show, after he was just like, oh, like I'm good. And they just dropped it. They're like, oh, he forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, plot hole.
Yeah, it was convenient that he needed to be able to fit back into the system for his plan to work, but you would not expect that after all that he had seen or whatever. Yeah, it does.
Almost like if you found like a weird green mask and it didn't come off your face, you wouldn't like call the fire department, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit of like the plot hole of the entire movie of The Mask.
It's obviously, I think plot holes are more egregious in movies that are more serious. Look, I really like The Truman Show. I think that it's among his best movies, maybe his best movie or whatever. But I do agree that it's got sort of like a stylization to it that I think plays into that rush that you're talking about, where like it's about a reality show, but they also want the movie to kind of feel like that too. And so I get what you're saying. So you're not super buying it as a movie, or did you enjoy it?
No, I very much enjoyed it. I would give it at least an 8 out of 10, and I have terrible movie opinions usually.
Okay, well, thank you for watching it. That was very fair of you. Francesca, you did not rewatch The Mask, I assume, right?
Nope.
Because you are a hardcore anti-masker.
No, don't need to,
I did watch it again. It's probably like the second time I've ever seen it. And it was kiddie like I thought. It is basically, it's a cartoon, but in live action. It was more adult in the jokes than I thought. It's very much one of those things where it's like kids watch it for the wackiness, but adults watch it for the like way over the top sexual humor and everything.
Yeah.
He's doing his whole like Jim Carrey thing. I did not remember much about the plot, and I'd forgotten that the world it's set in is not really the real world. It's this very, again, stylized sort of almost like Tim Burton-esque world. It's not great, but it wasn't the worst movie ever. I will say that, Mike. It was not the worst.
Well, I saw Magic Mike, The Last Dance this weekend. So if anyone wants to talk about that and how terrible it was.
Yeah, I heard. My wife watched it too, and she said it was not particularly good. Also, Cameron Diaz is a national treasure. I will just say that, and we're gonna give you more news. I have more thoughts on the mask, but they will be very much out of context now, so I will save them for later. Anyway, for now, we're gonna move on to other news. Greg Abbott and Texas, like many Republican politicians in many red states, wanna get in on the anti-trans crusade. They wanna attack anything associated with trans people, the LGBTQ community more broadly, anything. And like, for them, drag as a performance art is just a very easy thing for them to misconstrue into other aspects of the community and attack. They think it's an easy thing to attack, but they've also found recently that doing bills specifically to attack drag can land you in some legal trouble. Because once you get into attacking a particular type of performance, then that's sort of a speech thing almost. So they decided that when they tried to outlaw drag, they were gonna be safe and avoid falling into any of these constitutional traps or anything like that. So they decided they were just going to sign a bill that stops like adult performances where kids can see it, sexualized performances. That way, they get to get rid of the drag, which they say is sexualized, even if it's not. And then they're good, no concerns. But it isn't working out that way in practice, and I love it. So first of all, Greg Abbott is already undercutting their strategy by tweeting out that they're doing a law banning drag performances in public, which could be an exhibit in a court case at some point, because he's making very clear that they are trying to attack drag specifically. Matthew Siegel points out that the bill doesn't specifically mention drag for this reason, that the constitutional thing, but just noting that he is pointing it out. And so, but we need to get into what else can fall under this same area, because you could do this bill wanting to adjust to attack drag. That doesn't mean that's all that's going to be attacked by it. So we need to talk about a political consultant, Luke Macias, who supported the bill, being questioned about it. And here's a bit of that.
To be clear, your position on this bill is even if a parent takes their minor child to a, say, a drag show.
Yes.
You think that should be illegal?
Yes, sir.
Even if the parent is bringing the
100%.
Child? Okay. So would that extend to a parent taking their child to see a rated R movie? Has nudity or sexual content?
Again, I think the good news is that if this bill in its current form happens to extend to those activities, and that'll be good questions to wrestle with. There is a really good question about how much sex a parent can legally expose their child to. So I think you're asking good questions that really allow us to decide if how much nudity can a child be exposed to? I mean, your point of a rated R movie allows for sex acts to be performed in front of a child, for literally, you know, nudity of male and female genitalia to be shown. So if you think that they should be able to, and worst case scenario, this bill also happens to extend to rated R movies and theaters, that would be a huge blessing if this bill actually extended that. I think that would make Texas a better place and protect our children even more.
Okay, so there's a lot that's good there, Francesca. I do love getting clarification on what exactly parental rights means, because they're big proponents for parental rights until, oh no, but not like to do something I don't like. You don't have the right to do that. I think that this thing's bad. So your rights are done. So you could potentially be locked up if you take your kid to a rated R movie. And I love that he's like, he's either acting like he's never thought about the implications there, or he actually has not thought about the implications and he is in real time having to think about them. The question was sort of the easy case. It's when you get taken to it, but rated R movies play on TV all the time. You can stream them. So should, if we get a report that a parent is playing a movie on HBO and their kid sees it, should they be locked up? Should we break down the door and lock up the parents if they put on the most recent Magic Mike or whatever? Does that have nudity?
Yeah.
It is nudity, right? Yeah. Should we be locking people up? No, not enough. It should have more. See, that's what lefties say. And so I love this. So now it was supposed to just hit drag. Now movie theaters need to be policed. And people bring up other stuff too. We're gonna get to some of the other categories. But first, what do you think about this?
No, he is thinking about it in real time. He was just like, oh, that's a good point. And I guess it'd be, you know, that would be a blessing. Hey, let's throw some religious mojo on it. Yeah, that'd be great. No, like, I love also this idea that Republicans are the ones who, even though they say that the left is doing late term abortions, it's like, no, they're doing the late term abortion, like the latest term abortion possible, which is taking children away from their parents for ridiculous things like drag shows, ridiculous things like rated R movies, and anything else that they don't like. I don't know where they want them to go. I don't know where they want to send them. I don't know, again, which hog farm needs a 6-year-old worker for them to, you know, exploit, who will never form a union. But there you go. There's more on Luke, but I want to get to him because yeah.
And I will also say, I love that, like, look, he doesn't back off of the insane like Christian jihad that they're going on. He also thinks that you should be locked up for showing the kid the movie. But I also love that, like, he briefly has to think about it, that they'll see literal sex and he's like, you know, no, it's a blessing. Yeah, let's ban that too. That's actual sex. Drag generally does not involve nudity. That's an automatic. Drag, which does not involve nudity, automatically you should not be legally allowed to do that. Actual sex. No, yeah, let's ban that too. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. This is about avoiding the sexual stuff, but the explicitly sexual stuff is not as obviously bad to them as just a drag performance where you're lip syncing to a classic song. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we do have more of him. Why don't we jump in?
Straight sex is good for them.
I guess. Let's take a look at this.
So are you talking about like the ballet performance that I saw my 8-year-old sister perform with other?
Probably ballet wouldn't be the genre. Okay. But
so if there's
say modern dance,
modern minors on stage jazz. Sexually dancing, I don't think that's a good thing.
Okay. Do you think this bill would impact that type of dance performance?
I don't know if it would, but the less twerking that children are doing, the better off Texas would be as a society.
Okay, so a little joke about twerking is supposed to distract from the fact that also all of these sorts of performance arts, just general performance arts that they've never had a problem with, those can be banned too. Other stuff gets raised. So conservatives love Hooters. Hooters is all over Texas. I guess that's done because kids can go to Hooters, so that's sexualized. So I guess they can't do it anymore. Twin Peaks also gonna have to shut down. There's a lot of different brands like this. Twin Peaks has probably been closed for like 10 years. But anyway, yeah, so. It's very easy for them to be like, ban drag, it's sexualized, even though it's not. Except they love sexualized performances. People raised, so what exactly about what's gonna go on with cheerleaders? That's a very sexy sort of performance. Are we gonna be shutting that down? Because you guys love football. Are you gonna love it as much without the cheerleaders? Maybe this is not like where the right should be going. The right that told us that we were the nanny state for, you know, limiting like soft drink sizes now believes that they should be able to control literally every bit of side boob you see. Maybe that's kind of a weird turn for them and you should be suspicious about it. What do you think?
There's no boobs. Because we're talking about children. And maybe if you're the Republican Party who is hell-bent on calling Democrats pedophiles, maybe you shouldn't be parsing which things are sexualizing kids and which things aren't in your book. Because it's kind of a big tell for you, bro, to be like, yeah, that ballet performance, if there's too much twerking, let's just say, okay, let's just use the barometer of me as a grown ass man. If I'm feeling turned on, then it's sexualizing kids. Because that's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're doing. There's no connection between drag queens and drag shows and children. Not even if children are in the audience, there's no connection between sexualizing kids and drag queens. You guys are the ones sexualizing yeah. them. You guys are the ones who are saying it's sexualizing kids. So now we're on your little twisted brain sexualizing kids slope, and I don't wanna be there.
Again, yeah. Look, it's been pointed out so many times, the issue with like trying to fight back against them saying this stuff sexualizes kids when there are people on the right who have not gone 20 minutes without talking about kids and sex for the last 2 years.
Yes.
Is that they're not being honest, none of them. This is convenient. I mean, every single one of the people pushing this message, but many of the people receiving it aren't literally stewing night after night thinking they're coming for the kids, they're coming at the kids. They want to be in power. They want to be part of a group that's in power, and they believe they've come up with a cheat code. They believe, did you know that if we just say they're trying to F our kids, we can do whatever we want? That's what they believe. They did it back, you know, in the 80s or whatever with the Satanism and the D&D and all that stuff. And now, attacking the gay community then for it. And now they're just doing it again. They've rediscovered what they think is a cheat code, but it's a cheat code to a future that is the direct condemnation of virtually every supposed ideological stance that they used to take. They are fully in support of destroying parental rights and setting up a nanny state for anything having to do with genitals, just to be clear.
Or things that don't have to do with genitals that weirdly they made about genitals. And you're like, we're watching a dance performance.
Some of the religious leaders said that historically, back when the pill was being developed, that there were comments of predictions of social behaviors that might exist. And they learned that from other societies in real time when they made these comments. And they said that it opens up the door to marital infidelity. And it did. You can laugh and mock, but you're laughing and mocking not me, but the people.
All comments will be to the speaker.
The government might force contraceptives upon married couples. That's happened in other countries. And so the government gets to have a role. They get to play supreme ruler. It increases a loss of respect for women that men get to do whatever they want. And then women have to be able to control the natural reproductive course of the body. Nature has an intention, and when you have that act, a pregnancy naturally occurs. That's nature doing what nature does. And then the woman has to counter nature.
Oh, okay. One follow-up, sir. Who tied your tie? Because you're clearly an absolute moron, and I do not believe that you were capable of doing that without choking yourself to death. Francesca, you go first. That was amongst the dumbest things that I've ever heard in my life.
So bad. Like, he just tell us that you're cheating on your wife, okay? Just tell us that you've been sleeping with your secretary for many, many years now. And like, these are our legislators, people. These people are making laws. And so thank God that a woman cackled in his face, because these are the people taking away our reproductive rights. They have no idea how anything works. Truly, I mean, come on. They do not know female anatomy. They do not know, again, they're left from their right. They don't know up from down. And here they are like, well, it creates a female infidel. She's gotta take control. Yeah. Cause this dude's never wrapped it up in his life, clearly the way his father should have.
Yeah, there was no way to control it until birth control without a prescription. Cause bear in mind, this isn't like a debate, should we have birth control? It already exists. This just allows you to get it without needing to go through the time and expense of getting a prescription. And you probably will already have had a prescription. You won't just have to needlessly get it over and over and over again. He's acting as if this is about whether it should be invented in the first place. First of all, you could still cheat on your spouse. By the way, if you're mad about that potentially breaking up marriages, then you should be mad at the people who do DNA testing or paternity testing, because you could just pretend that it's theirs. Also, there are condoms. I don't know why you don't know that. It's weird that you don't know that. It'll contribute to the loss of respect in women, because now they'll have to control it. No, now they'll be able to control it. And it takes respect for women to care about giving them the ability to control what happens to their bodies and their lives. So much of this is just utter nonsense, but it's a reminder that there are still people across this country that are not satisfied to stop you from getting an abortion. They want to stop you from having contraception as well. And they're empowered amongst the right right now. The right is looking for what the next battlegrounds are gonna be. And for all we know, Chuck Wichgers is just a harbinger of it.
Yeah, no, they wanna eliminate all sex for anything other than procreation. And just allow people to be forced into parenthood and, you know, live in squalor. I mean, again, what happens? What is the magic key? What will that secretly unlock once you've suppressed half the American people and there's a bunch of unwanted children growing up without proper resources? What happens then? Are we great again? Does that make us great?
Evidently. And some people might think, well, you know, why would your Chuck Wichgers, which is definitely a real name, or your, you know, Ben Shapiro's, why would they be willing to stop people from having sex for pleasure? I want you to bear in mind, they already could.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.